This is the Chicago Golf Report podcast, hosted by Walter Liss. Today's guest is John Iacono, president and founder of Zero Friction Golf.
A little bit about the company. The company's been around over 20 years now. Can you talk about the genesis of the idea and how did you get the idea? Because I believe you started with the golf tees at first. Is that correct?
Yes, we did, Walter. And I'll try to keep it somewhat short, but I was in the woodworking industry and we made wood dowels. And making wood dowels is how you make a wood golf tee. So we started making wood golf tees and we were doing that. And we were successful at it, but not very interesting business, quite honestly, very commoditized and no performance really to a wood tee. So we wanted to create a performance tee and came up with the concept of a three-prong tee. So we carved out with our three-prong Zero Friction Tour tee, our founding product, 66% of the tee surface coverage on the ball. And what that did was it actually eliminates the concave cup because the ball sits up on this tripod and you get more ball to face contact. You get a more square shot. You get a lot more feel in the club face and in your hands. You get less dispersion because that concave cup, the ball could slide right or left out of there. And then you get a lot of backspin, which creates drag and reduced distance. So we took the concept to golf laboratories out in Carlsbad, California, where Gene Parente there tests everything for everybody. He's a top tester probably in the country. And sure enough, we were getting 5 yards longer than a conventional cup tee. But more importantly, in my opinion, the right or left of target line, a wood tee is 14 feet right or left. We were 7 feet. And that really proved how much less dispersion there was, right? So with that, we started marketing one pack of tees. It was a white tee pack, 2 3/4. That's it. And next thing you know, we're stumbling into this, right? And we're getting a lot of tour wins. And I, you know, right away, we probably had 30 tour wins in no time. And folks like Kenny Perry, Mark Wilson, Ryan Palmer, all using the product and they're all winning and it just a lot of fun. So then we start doing colors and other sizes and things of that nature, which really propelled it. And we called it a Zero Friction Tee. The company was called actually XL Golf Products. And then the tee became so popular, we said, it's a catchier name, Zero Friction. Let's name the company Zero Friction. So we did. And then slowly started building, you know, we just stayed tees quite honestly until about 2010, we launched a golf ball, the distance ball, does very nicely for us. And then we did a three-piece tour spin ball. And then in 14, we came up with the one-size golf glove. And along the way, we got out of wood tees. Probably by 2012, we just eliminated them from our portfolio and just continued to build proprietary products under Zero Friction. And then I had gone over to PGA Superstores over there in Downers Grove, a great customer of ours, by the way, and great organization. And I went to buy a black golf glove. So as a kid, when I caddied at Oak Park Country Club, great course, of course, Donald Ross, it's world class. Mm-hmm. I used to go in the pro shop as a 13-year-old, right? You know, and I'd go in there and I remember seeing like the FootJoy or Titleist display back then. They had colored gloves and a lot of them matched the Sansevieria pants guys were wearing back in the 70s, right? Can you imagine that? So in fact, Johnny Miller and I had a long discussion about that. Johnny, we did some endorsement work with Johnny, who's a fabulous person, and we laughed at that. So I thought, well, God, why aren't there colored gloves? I can't get a black golf glove. I started to look at the category at superstores and realize how many brands now make gloves. And a men's glove, Walter, actually comes in 11 sizes, if you could believe that. So you try to colorize 11 sizes, if you want 6 colors, that's 66 single gloves. And if you want Zero Friction in 6 colors, it's 6. All of a sudden, the math just starts to really make sense, right? Mm-hmm. And so then we thought, wow, well, I stood there in the aisle and I said, somebody should really do this. If they did this, they could really, really garner a nice market share But what they have to do is make it high quality, compression fit, not a floppy glove or anything, right? And I actually canceled my golf game that day, went back to the office and started working on it. And it took me a year to figure it out. And we've patented it widely. And now our platform on one size gloves is pretty substantial. At superstores, we're the number two gloves sold nationwide behind Acushnet. So we're pretty proud of that in a short period of time.
Yeah. So there's a couple things here. It's fascinating how you're in the woodworking industry. Were you a golf fan? Is that what kind of segued you to making tees then?
Yeah, you know what it was? So making dowels makes, you know, a tee is derived from a dowel. I knew a little bit about the tee industry because some companies I bought products from were the tee makers in the United States, Pride Golf Tee and a company called Allen Rogers. So because of that, I knew a little bit about the industry. And then I was a caddy. And I wasn't a big golfer, but I played a lot of golf and I love golf, you know, and as I got into my late 20s, I started to play the game a bit more and then into my 30s and then kind of got a bit addicted to it. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what did it, you know, and so I just kind of segued.
One of the people I recently interviewed for the podcast was Steve Skinner from Kemper Sports.
And yeah.
He talked about how he was actually an attorney right out of college. He worked in the legal profession for a while, and he was the kind of got tired of fighting people for a living. And so he had this opportunity to segue into the golf business as well. And he stayed in it obviously since then. And so I could probably think of a dozen people with similar ideas where, you know, where you're in one industry, but you're kind of pulled towards golf, but for you, it was almost a logical segue, right? Because you're making something, you're aware of like, okay, I think we could upgrade. At what point in time did you decide like, okay, I'm all in with golf? Like, was it the success of the tee or more?
Yeah, it was the success of the golf tee. And then I ended up selling the wood dowel company. And I just wanted to focus on golf, which is what I did. So that's kind of what did it. But, you know, we've just continued to propel ourselves into it. Our range of golf balls now is kind of staggering. You know, we sell PJ Superstores, Walmart, green grass shops all around the country, other major retailers, Amazon, huge. And all of our products, especially in golf balls, they're virtually all five stars. We don't have any dogs. We won't make a dog, you know. We make stuff we'd want to play ourselves, right? So we just try to make everything that has a technological advancement and it's priced where 98% of the consumers can afford it, right? I know a brand just came out with a $69 a dozen golf ball. I don't know many people that need a $69 a dozen golf ball, right? But maybe there's a market for that, but we prefer to supply the masses and do a really good job at it. And we have a very good brand name. We work really hard at it. So yeah, the golf balls are great. We came out with a new golf tee. Back to golf tees, Walter, for a minute. Sensational new golf tee. And right now my team is down at the Golf Course Superintendent Show. It's back in Orlando again, if you could believe that. And we launching the new turf tee. And what it is it's a golf tee that the tips of the tee that you insert in the ground have two forks in it to repair the turf. So it's a proper divot repair tool built into the tee. We actually make the tee 3 inches, slightly longer than the standard 2 3/4, not quite as long as the 3 1/4. So now we basically come up with a one size length, if you will, and put the divot repair tool in it. And then you could either get it in our 3-prong, or we've made an air launch, which is a little more conventional cup tee. For the player that just wants a conventional cup tee, we have our own version of what that should look like. And so we launched that as well. So really great products. And the tee is fabulous. The GCSA loves it because, of course, superintendents want those greens repaired from divots, right? And this puts a completely proper divot repair tool. You know, a lot of folks, we all like to use a golf tee because it's in our pocket. And we don't carry a divot repair tool, right? You know, the golf tee is the worst product in the world to use because it does not slide under the root system, right? And what it does is it actually breaks the roots as it goes in. And then it's not wide enough. There's not a flange on it. and you can't get under the turf and you can't get under the root system to pop it up, right? And then you see guys just stabbing at it. And oh my God, that's the scariest sight in the world when you see that. So our tee slides, the two forks just go right under, you pop it right up and it repairs amazing. It's really a cool product. So, you know, we have that. And then we've gone into golf bags quite well. We've got from what we call the Air Light, your traditional little Sunday bag, holds about 6 clubs, to a beautiful leatherette pencil bag. It actually holds about 12 clubs. So it's really, really nice leatherette. It's an outstanding product. Then you go into our carry stand bag, which we do a value bundle with it. You get a zero friction glove on it that color coordinates with the bag color. And you get a 40-inch waffle tour towel attached to the bag. So you get, you know, I know, 40, 45 bucks in value added to that bag, and it retails for $199. It's a great product. We have a cart bag, and now we moved into, and I'm pleased to boast a little bit, we came out with the Wheel Pro, and the Wheel Pro just won the ING Innovation Award at the PGA show this year. Wheel Pro is a traditional carry stand bag that in literally 3 seconds, you can pop on 2 cart-sized wheels to the base, and there's a built-in ergonomic handle, and your carry stand bag becomes its own push bag, its own trolley, right? So no need for the trolley, the big collapsible product that you got to throw in your trunk, throw in your clubs, try to lug these things around. Forget going on a vacation or on an airplane with the two, right? Because it's not going to happen. And so our Wheel Pro bag remains a carry stand bag. You want to wheel it, you just pop the wheels on, or it leave the wheels off and it fits on the back of a motor cart. So it's a fantastic 3-in-1 product, Walter. And again, huge, huge rave reviews on it, selling really nicely. And Chicago PGA Superstores is carrying them, so folks could go out there. They retail for $299. It's a great, great value product. And then lastly, we just released at the show this year, which folks can, if they go to zerofriction.com, they'll see the new Stride. And we've taken the electric trolley to a whole new level. We got rid of the trolley and we built it all into the bag, if you could believe that. So we took a bag that's equivalent of a cart size bag. And again, 2 wheels, it's front wheel drive, 2 wheels attached to the very front of the bag. There's a third wheel system that cantilevers out of the back of the bag. And the bag itself is the trolley, and it comes with remote and follow me. And it's just a world-class product. I mean, the industry really went crazy for it. It won't be ready to ship to consumers until June, maybe mid-June of this year. They're in production now, and they'll be coming over shortly. But it's a really world-class product. It's a full leatherette bag. It's water repellent, very, very high quality. Best part, travel anywhere in the world, you have your own personal caddy wherever you go. And if you don't want to use it as a walking bag, if you will, pop the wheels off and it goes on the back of a motor cart. So we've multi-purposed as many products as we can. Retails for $18.99 is the retail price on it. So it's a really outstanding product.
So I mentioned that I watched wall-to-wall coverage of the PGA show, which I always like to do. Your feature on the Golf Channel broadcast was one of those when I watched all of these different products and coming through, you kind of get used to it. When your feature came on, it was a showstopper. It was, oh, wow.
Thank you.
And then you kept on adding, like you said, and we could take the wheels off and it could fit on the stand and it's built like this. And I was like, holy cow, there's so much to it. So that, yeah. I guess that brings me to the creative process. Like, how do you think of these ideas? And then once you think of them, is it a race to say, well, let's add this and let's add this? Or how does all this come together? How did the Stride bag, I guess, maybe start with that? How did that come together?
Yeah, so, you know, I do all the product development in our company. Every product, that's just what I do. You know, it's my knack, I guess. Never really knew I had the knack. I'm not an engineer. I'm just really more of a creative thinker. And when you combine creative thinking and what does the market need, right? You have to put those two things together. It's one thing to come up with a new gizmo or whatever it might be, but if the market doesn't need it, it's kind of, you know, great idea, but no one wants one, right? So, you know, it starts with the Wheel Pro. I started with the Wheel Pro because sometimes I want to walk. There wasn't a trolley at the course I was at, and I'm stuck, you know, on a rainy day carrying my bag, right? And I'm like, gosh darn it, why can't this be simpler? And I really just personally don't like the trolleys. I don't like the whole cumbersomeness of these things. They're not inexpensive either. You know, they're $250 to $400 if you want to buy a decent one, right? And that's not even the electric ones. The electric ones are, you know, close to $2,000 and even more beyond that. So I thought to myself, why can't we first make this product? And I did. And that's the Wheel Pro. And as I was thinking about it, then I'm looking at these electric trolleys saying, why do these electric remote trolleys, why can't we just build it into the bag, simplify? I also find it harder to find a caddy today. When I grew up, everybody caddy. But today, I don't know. It just doesn't seem to be the same. And when you look at, you know, where are caddies? Caddies are primarily at the private clubs in the country. So maybe there's 3,000, 3,400 private facilities if they all have caddies. That's out of 12,000 facilities. So now you've only got 25% of the facilities have caddies, right? So if you want a caddy and you play public golf, which the majority of golfers do in America, you don't have a caddy, right? So I like a caddy. I love the experience of walking. And I thought to myself, well, how can I do this and just build it into the bag? And I came up with the entire concept. I have my own crude little crayon drawings that I make stuff. And then I bring it to an industrial design firm and I have them work on it with me. And one thing leads to another. And, you know, we bring it to market. We're going to have another exciting product coming out next year in this category. So Wheel Pro is going to branch off as its own division of Zero Friction. It'd almost be a standalone company. So we have Wheel Pro and we have Wheel Pro Stride. And in the middle, and we haven't quite did the final name on it, is going to be a Wheel Pro. We're going to call it a hybrid for right now as a placeholder. But it's basically going to be an in-between version. And it's going to be the Wheel Pro, but it'll be a leather bag. It will have a really upgraded wheel system on it and everything. And then it will actually have a battery. And when you go to push it, the battery engages the wheels. So it's really a power assist, right? Kind of like a lawnmower, but that's for the player that maybe they belong to a really hilly golf course. They just don't want to push. They don't want to quite spend as much as on a stride for whatever reason, or don't feel they need that. But they want to push, but they want a power assist. And so, you know, we got the Wheel Pro around 300. This new one will be right around, you know, probably 700 to 800. And then you'll have the Stride, which will be around that 1900. So we have all price points covered. There's an option for everybody. We'll have a few colors in every series for folks to choose from. And we're just going to keep growing that platform. We're a big believer in it. You know, there's enough golfers and there's enough facilities that, you know, and this is just something new. Nobody else has these products. So,
yeah. So you touched on the importance of caddies, and yeah, bring up a great point too, because I think for those of us here in the Midwest, we're all aware of the Western Golf Association, check out on scholarships. It's a big deal, been going on since 1930, but you brought up a great point. There's only a limited amount of courses that offer caddies and that experience, which is so wonderful. What do you take from your experience at Oak Park Country Club as a caddy? And you've already, you know, detailed how you've built your business on these ideas. What else did you take from being a caddy in that experience?
The best work experience of my life. I was 13 years old. I caddied when I was 13 and when I was 14 for two summers over there. Honestly, it was great. I learned respect. I learned punctuality. I learned patience until you were called for your loop to go out there. I learned how to engage with adults, right? With other men, right? And then I learned about what they did in life, because they're always very, you know, always friendly. And hey, who's a lawyer? Who's a doctor? Who's an electrician? Who's a dentist? Doesn't matter. But you learned what they did. It actually opened my eyes up a lot to maybe possible future career choices, you know? And then you'd always get a maybe somebody that wasn't quite so nice and wasn't quite so generous when you got to the halfway house. And you realized, okay, I don't think I want to frame myself around that type of individual, but Mr. So-and-so over here, I think I want to frame myself around that, right? As a young person, you're always looking at for aspirational individuals, right? No different than sports legends, okay? Who wants to be the, you know, would you, you know, model yourself after a Michael Jordan or whomever, right? A Jack Nicklaus, a Johnny Miller, whoever it might be. And I think all that comes together, but you know, you learn punctuality. You had to be at that club at a certain time. Don't think you could come here at 2 p.m. every day. You be here by 7:30, get your name on the list to try to get a loop, right? I just thought it was really career building for me. And I really love being a caddy. Yeah, it was great.
So last question for you. When you spent time at the PGA show, I'm sure in addition to all the meetings and the things that you had to do with your own company, you had a chance to walk the floor, maybe even just talk to other people. From what you heard and what you saw, what are there any other topics within the golf business that got you excited or interested in thinking, wow, that could be a game changer? Anything stand out to you?
Unfortunately, believe it or not, I don't get to walk around the show that much because I hit the floor around 7:15 in the morning and I don't get out of the booth between client meetings and customer presentations and meeting with media and such. I don't get out till about 6:15. There is a company though that I think is really intriguing and they've come on fast and they're doing a really good job. It's in the footwear and it's this Squares golf shoes. Mm-hmm. I think Squares has done a really, really nice job. They have a really high quality product. I have an old pair of square toed golf shoes that are probably 20 years old and I still wear them today because that little extra square in the front really gives your foot a little more comfort than a rounded or more pointed type toe, right? I mean, let's face it, our feet are more square than they are pointed and it fits better. And I just think that they've done a really, really nice job with those products there. And then on the apparel side, I think the Dunning and the Greg Norman lines are exceptional. Dunning in particular has really, really moved up to a really high quality product line and fashion orientated. And I like those products a lot as well. Other than that, there's a million and one now type of hitting monitors and things like that. Rapsodo has a very, very cool portable a monitor that you could take with you at the driving range and it just attaches to, it's like part of your iPhone. Very, very cool, right? I thought that was great because people need to understand a little bit more. I just did a club fitting the other day, a Club Champion out here. And they, you know, you talk about a company that does a spectacular job. I mean, their whole setup and they're local, you know, they're based out of Willowbrook and Joe Lee runs that company. He's a friend of mine, but the fitting process was amazing. And what I learned about my ball flight from the fitter, I was like a private lesson. I spent an hour and a half there for some irons. I learned more about my golf game getting fitted than anything. So I encourage people to do something like that. And that's where I think these little monitors and that you could take with you, but you have to understand the information. If you don't understand the information, you could just confuse yourself, right? You have to know the information. We'll be right back.